Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to try something new, and it hopefully will be a recurring series here on Real Money with David Holland. I'm going to start inviting local publicly traded companies to come in and talk with us about the companies and how they're performing and about their stocks. So very appropriately, the first one I wanted to have on board or come into the studio and talk with us is Brown & Brown. So with me in the studio here is Corey Walker, who is Chief Financial Officer of Brown & Brown. Welcome, Corey.
Thank you, Dave. Enjoyed being here. Thank you.
Yeah,
for
I'm glad you're
me.
Here. Oh, it's my pleasure. The wonderful thing about having you, I felt like it was appropriate because you and I have quite a history. Just a quick disclaimer, if you will, ladies and gentlemen. Corey hired me to go to work for Ernst & Young as a CPA right out of college in Jacksonville. Had offers, and he probably won't remember this, but I do, had offers from five of the big accounting firms. And part of the reason why I chose Ernst & Young was Corey. And so I went to work for Ernst & Young, worked with Corey there. And then he left a few years later and went to Brown & Brown back when Hyatt Brown was recruiting all the CPAs that he thought would be great for the organization. And then not long after, what do you know, I also joined the organization. So and I was with them, as my listeners know, for about 5 years and then started Holland Financial. Been doing that for the last 15. You don't look 15 years older, Corey.
Well, that's good. That's good. But I do remember that, David, and I'm recruiting you out of college. It was like recruiting athletes, and you were the top of the class, and we put the full court press on you.
All right, well,
get
good.
You to come to Ernst & Young.
Well, fair enough. And it wasn't very hard to persuade me to come back home to Daytona and join Brown & Brown and be with you again. I wanted to have you come on board and talk about, you know, given everything's going on in our world and the markets and the politics and the economy. I think for a lot of people here locally who can hear the signal and are in our local community, that, you know, what goes on at a publicly traded company that's in our own backyard is very relevant to our local economics. And if one other quick disclaimer, we do hold Brown & Brown in our portfolios, which I know you're happy
to
hear.
Good. That's very good.
But our listeners need to know that we do hold the stock. And so we're interested in the stock doing well, as are our clients. So first, I would like to ask you, Corey, if you would, just for our listeners, to give a little bit of a 30,000 feet, maybe quick review of Brown & Brown and its history, both in its initial starting and then, of course, some of those seminal moments, as Hyatt would put it, different points along the way that brings Brown & Brown to where it is today.
Right. Being a Gator, I'm not sure Hyatt would use the word seminal moment, but I understand what you mean. And as you know, Brown & Brown is a Volusia County company. We started back in 1939 when Hyatt's father started the business with his cousin, Cove. And they grew the business steadily over the years. And then, of course, Hyatt joined his father in 1959 and then bought the firm from his father in 1961. So then Hyatt grew it for the next 10 years. And then in 1972, as a lot of folks will remember, Hyatt ran for the legislature in the state of Florida.
He was Speaker of the House.
And he won that election and then became Speaker of the House. And then he had a very focused job to get done in the legislature. And he looked forward to getting out of the legislature, retiring as Speaker of the House. And they accomplished a lot of things back during his legislation. And so he retired in 1980 and came back to run the company full time. And in 1980, we had $2 million in revenue. And he had never sold any business when he was in the legislature. But when he got out, he said, look, I've met a lot of people in Florida, so we are going to put the pedal to the metal. And in 2 years, they doubled the size of the company from $2 million to $4 million. And the only problem is the operating profit did not change a bit. And of course, that's what we call the first definitive event in Brown & Brown's history, because we realized that to run a business – you just can't have high sales. You've got to focus on running the business and make an operating profit so you can grow your business from there. And at that point in time, Hyatt brought in the only time we've ever used a consultant. And that consultant, you know, said, look, you've got to break out your departments and you've got to pay people to run certain departments and give them part of the profit center bonus for growing the business and making it more profitable and in better services. And so we did that. We followed all those consultants' rules, and we didn't have receivables over 59 days. And that really became the center part of our culture. And even today, the most valuable asset that we have as a company is our culture, because we're highly decentralized. We've got 184 offices around the country now, and each one is run by a leader who makes all their decisions locally. And so from a standpoint of a Volusia County company, we've done pretty good. And today we exceeded, last year in 2011, we finally exceeded $1 billion in total revenues. So it was a nice accomplishment for a local company here.
That's a nice way to put it. Nice accomplishment. It's a fantastic accomplishment. That's amazing. And if you're just joining us, Corey Walker is here, CFO of Brown & Brown. The website for more information, investor relations and all that is bbinsurance.com.
That's correct.
And there's a lot of good information there. Corey, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back and continue the story now going, taking things to the next level. So stay right there, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
Many people invest without ever knowing what they pay in investment fees. When was the last time you dropped your car off for service and told them to fix whatever they want without getting an estimate first? I'll bet never. Why treat your portfolio any different? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
We're back. Corey Walker, CFO of Brown & Brown, is my guest today. We're starting a new series. We'll see how well we do with it and be inviting other local publicly traded companies in the area to come and be on the program. Maybe come in and update us quarterly on what's happening with their company. And before the break, Corey was giving us kind of the quick history. And it's hard to be quick with the history because it's such a textured
long history, and
long history. And I know, again, having worked for the company for just shy of 5 years, I know a lot about the culture. And as you took kind of a quick tour of my office coming in, you saw some of the influences. We have little name tags up on the wall with the person's name and how many years they've been with the company. So fast forward, you know, we had, of course, another major event, which was the merger with Poe & Associates.
That is correct. In 1992, that's when Bill Poe and Hyatt Brown got together, and Poe & Associates was a publicly held company, and they talked with us about merging with them. And we thought about it, and we agreed that we would merge with them as long as the Brown & Brown side got five directors and Poe & Associates side had four directors. So we essentially was able to take them over, and that's how we became a public company. It actually got effectuated by the SEC approval in May of 1993. And so that's how we became a publicly held company. A lot of the local folks had stock in Brown & Brown, and then they were able to acquire stock from there. And of course, today, with being a public company, we are able to give a lot of the stock to our employees. And so today we have, between the Brown family and the employees of Brown & Brown, we own approximately about 30% of the company, which is very, very important in terms of knowing a company long-term from a financial standpoint. We are very, very conservative, and people are very focused on growing the stock in the proper way steadily over time. And when you have 30% of the company that has skin in the game, everybody is watching very closely everything that goes on in the company.
Yeah, that's motivation. That's not somebody kicking back and saying, I'll do as little as I can when nobody's looking, because it is a culture. It is, I love, and it's always been the case, it's a meritocracy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a place where people really are all driven and striving. And your 184 profit centers, part of my stint at Brown & Brown was I was your director of internal audit back when it was one person.
Right.
and I remember the profit centers and Hyatt talking to them all day long on the phone. And it was really a remarkable thing, because they would counsel with Hyatt, but then they would make their decisions locally.
Exactly.
And so that decentralization is very nimble.
Yes.
But to have a $1 billion company that's operated that way is, I think, rather unique in our environment.
Exactly. Well, it is the most difficult organization to create, because you have to have so many high quality leaders. However, just like this last 5 years, it's once you have that established, it's the easiest organization to run, because of the same reason, you have so many high quality leaders running their own operations. And so you look at from 2008 to right now, we've had what I consider economic Armageddon. And during that period of time, our clients pay premium based on the exposure units they have in terms of payrolls, their sales. And everybody in the middle market has had tremendous diminishment of their revenues and payroll values. And therefore, the premiums came down. Therefore, our commissions came down. And so our clients have felt the pain, and we felt the pain. And the fact that we were able to maintain a fairly stable earnings stream and stock valuation during that five-year period, I think is very much a proxy on the fact that the decentralized model truly works. And you've got to just believe in the people and give them the authority to make their own calls, and they will do what's best for the company.
Well, and I think you take that decentralization and with the high quality leaders you have, and you take that and you add on, of course, which is you're very aware of, Corey, is that you have then the ability after you did the Poe merger, and we've seen this a number of times, and we've been watching as you've done this over the years, is that's also giving you the ability then to look to expand. and you can make acquisitions both in cash but also with stock.
Correct. Well, we have that ability, but we always use cash. We stopped using stock back when pooling in 2001 went away. But today, we always pay with cash, and it's hard to argue with greenbacks because then the sellers can either turn around and buy Brown & Brown stock or have the freedom to do whatever they want. And we do make a lot of acquisitions. It's part of our strategy because other independent agents are attracted to our decentralized model. They've been running their operations for years, and the last thing they want to do is to go with an operation that all of a sudden somebody from New York or Chicago are telling them how to run their business when they've run it their whole life. In our model, they like it because it's decentralized, and they essentially run their operations the same way they did it the day before they merged with us.
But then they also get the benefit of being part of the group.
And they, exactly right. And there's 183 other profit center leaders like them that they can then bounce ideas off of. And how do I improve my operations here? What can I do there? And it's quite a dynamic organization.
Very powerful, Corey. Corey Walker is with us, CFO of Brown & Brown. BBinsurance.com is a website. The ticker, which I don't know if we've mentioned yet, is BRO. BRO, and that's on the New York Stock Exchange.
Yes, it is.
You just jump on Yahoo or whatever your search engine is, and you'll pull it up very quickly. We're going to take another short break, come back, and Corey's going to talk with us a little bit about where we're going. Talk about the financials, where we are, but where we're going in the future. So stay right there, ladies and gentlemen.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're with Corey Walker here in the studio, and he is CFO of Brown & Brown, and we are pleased that he's here with us and making his first radio appearance and doing just fine. And Corey, you know, one of the things, of course, people are going to be curious about is the performance of the company. You've shared with them the story and how we got to where we are and the plans and making acquisitions. But you also, of course, have what we call in your industry the organic growth, which is building on existing offices and existing operations. So share with us a little bit about the third quarter results and how that turned out, what things look like, things that affected it, things that had an impact. And then we can get a little bit into some of the things going forward.
Right, David. Well, we earned 34 cents earnings per share, which was about a penny less than what the street had originally estimated. But the focus in insurance agency business is currently right now is internal growth, because we've gone through 5 years of an economic recession, and we have now kind of hit an inflection point starting in 2012. And for 5 years, we had negative internal growth, because as I explained, how our clients in the middle market felt the pain and they're reduced. In the first quarter, all of a sudden, the middle market companies started to hit the bottom, and they stopped, the revenues and the payrolls stopped declining. They weren't going up fast, but they flattened out. And so now our clients are starting to grow, and as they grow, we have started to grow. And so the first quarter, we finally hit positive internal growth of 0.9%, and then we went to 3.2%, and this past quarter we were at 1%. The real positive about it was our internal growth in our retail division, which is generally the middle market mom and pop shops throughout the country, and that is showing shows a positive growth of a full 1% by itself. And that is indicating that the general economy around the country is starting to slowly go up. And that's the engine of the company. We don't think it's going to go up really fast, but going up is a lot better than going down. And so we hope and we believe it will be a nice, steady, continual growth over time. And, of course, that's one of the reasons that some of the Wall Street is looking very closely at the brokers, because we are somewhat of an indicator of the middle market. And they're relatively positive that it's at least on its way back.
Well, one of the things I saw, and it was so much good information to look at, one of the things I noted is that the valuation ratios, your price to earnings ratio, which again, we talk quite often on the program about where is the S&P valued, and Brown & Brown is most recent information I have. Corey, you can correct me on this, is it's just shy of 21, it's 20.7 Right. Roughly. Now,
on a trailing P.E. ratio as opposed to a future P.E. ratio.
And if you look at the S&P maybe being 14, 15, somewhere in that range, would that be then indicative of the fact that there is an expectation by the market that your earnings are going to accelerate?
That they are moving up. I mean, this year, the consensus on the street is that we would earn $1.25 for year 2012. The consensus for 2013 is $1.44. Now, we never give guidance, and so that's strictly from
they've come up
first
with that
call.
On their own.
They've come up with that on their own. And you know, that assumes a certain amount of acquisitions, but continued growth of the internal growth. So you can see from $1.25 to $1.44, that is a nice growth, and therefore the P.E. ratio will continue to reflect that growth if that does occur. One of the things that Brown & Brown has always had is a premium on their P.E. ratio. But since we've primarily in the southern parts of the United States, and we've been hit harder by the housing market than the other publicly held peers, their P.E. ratios now, our P.E. ratio has actually dropped below or equal to them when we historically have traded 30 to 50% higher premiums. And I think we just have to show a couple more quarters of strong internal growth, which I think is in the right, seem to be moving in that direction. And I believe that the P.E. ratio will continue to move up and that eventually, over the next couple of years, we will get our premium back of the P.E. ratio relative to our public health peers. That'd be Marsh and Aon mm-hmm. and Willis and Arthur Gallagher.
What drives a Brown & Brown quote-unquote premium? What drives that?
Well, there's
is
really...
back to the culture and the decentralized?
There's really two things. One is there a belief that the company's financial statements that they've reported to us, are they reliable? And every one of these big companies, they always seem to have a quarter where all of a sudden something goes wrong and it's unexpected, and then there's a big drop, and people are nervous about that. I think we've had very clear, transparent financial statements we put on our basic financials. You can figure out what their EBITDA is and the cash flow, and there's a lot of comfort in that. And then the second part is that when you look through the quality of our earnings, the operating profit and the sales new business growth is generally stronger than most of our peers, and that is what creates the premium that we do get.
Well, and I've looked at my share of financial statements and in investing for our clients, and I look at the information. I'm going, it's pretty clean. I mean, it's income, expenses, net profit. I mean, it's not a lot of complexity there.
Exactly. If you look at the press releases of most of our large companies, you can have a press release of 27 pages, and they start saying, well, the earnings would have been this, except for that. Ours is very straightforward. We have basically a paragraph talking about the current quarter and the year-to-date numbers, and then we have a comment from Powell, our president and CEO, and then we let the financial statements speak for themselves. And when you've got great company and transparency, that's all you really need.
Very good. Corey Walker, CFO of Brown & Brown. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week, I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
We're back with Corey Walker, CFO of Brown & Brown. Bro, B-R-O is the ticker, and the website is bbinsurance.com. All right, Corey, so I know that you hit the billion-dollar mark, okay, so mission accomplished, but that's not it. So
that's
what's
right.
Next? Is it 2 billion?
And that was an easy one. And our next intermediate goal, and these are intermediate goals because every good company always has goals that our employees can attach to and look in the future. And so our next intermediate goal is $2 billion. So we should finish this current year somewhere about $1.180 billion, $1.185 billion. And so we tell our folks, look, we're already 20% into our new goal after just 1 year. And so it galvanizes everybody, focuses on going out and providing great service to our existing clients and selling new business. And they handle the rest. And so there's no doubt we will hit our $2 billion in a reasonable amount of time. And at that time, then we'll come up with a new goal.
Keep moving it back. No, that's great. And I think people would be be pleased to know that, again, we have a local company who has this kind of culture and goals for the future. And of course, the more Brown & Brown grows, of course, it's around the country, but the more you do, the offices are here, the principal offices. You also have the Tampa location.
That's correct.
So, but it affects our local economy, which is one of the reasons why I wanted to have you come on and talk about it. So in terms of your competitors, I've always, you know, of course, aware there are certain companies that are companies you keep an eye on and are competitors. How is Brown & Brown doing versus those that peer group?
Well, for the if you look at the one-year stock chart, there's one other company that has done a little bit better than us that has grown about 15%. But we've grown about 10%. And that's really probably over the last 20 years. Or if you go back to 1993 and compare the stock increase, none of them even come close to us.
Wow.
Willis, which went through an IPO about 10 years ago, has kind of been close to us, but that'd be the closest one. And of course, they're down probably 20% this year. So stocks go up and down, and all we try to do is we want to be a better company today than we were yesterday. And we don't care what the stock price is today, because we're for the long term. We just want the stock to be higher in the long term. And so our typical shareholder is a long-term shareholder that doesn't trade much.
Well, long-term is a way to look at any investing in any stocks. So we're out of time, Corey. We'll have you come back another day, maybe at another quarter, and give us an update on the stocks. And thanks for being with us. Brown & Brown, CFO, Corey Walker, bbinsurance.com, and BRO is the ticker.
Thanks
for being here, Corey. All right.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland, and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.